Our football insider's got another good one. He's going to do Washington, Minnesota, analyst, NFL Fox and NFL Network. It's Charles Davis. Charles, I don't know that Seattle is like the New England of the NFC, but there's something about them that we always believe everything's going to be okay when the season starts and everything doesn't look right, but they get it together, and then they're scary come playoff time. Did all that change with the Sherman injury last night?
It really put a dent in it, and I think everything you said is spot on. That's kind of how they have not just approached things, but I think that's how they've been looked at exactly by NFL fans, whether they're fans of the Seahawks or not. You always get to the playoff time, and they're usually the team in the NFC that everyone says, oh, that's a team you don't want to play. You don't want to play Seattle. Russell Wilson can do this. The defense can do that. But you're starting to see some and I hate to even use this phrase, but it's the best one I've got on short notice. And you see some cracks in the armor because they are a little bit older. We've seen it with the defense already this year where they can hang in there, but sometimes they can't hang in there all the way like they used to. The Tennessee game was an example. The late touchdown last week against Washington was an example. And now you've got Earl Thomas, who's missed two games. You've got Sherman now. It looks like he's out for the season. You've got so many different things going on. And to your last point, we're used to seeing everyone, the Seahawks fill in, take care of things. But if you're continually replacing Pro Bowl, All-Pro players, you don't usually fill in at the same rate. And that's where Seattle might be at this point. So it's going to be an interesting ride the rest of the way. No one's going to count them out. It's just kind of almost like we think if Tiger Woods enters the tournament, even now, you think maybe he can get the magic back. That's kind of how you look at Seattle.
It's one of those things, too. I mean, I can't think of a team that needs to play at home more in the playoffs in January and needs to be at their own place, Charles. And that's not just how good their home atmosphere is. That's their travel. Like Seattle could have to go to New Orleans in the wild card weekend. Then they got to fly up to Minnesota. They're 2-5 in the Pete Carroll era on the road in the playoffs. And the only two teams they beat were Teddy Bridgewater as a rookie in the Vikings and RG3. Do you remember when RG3 was limping around and was hurt in that playoff game? They won that game in Washington. But that's not a great track record away from their place. It's hard to win on the road in the playoffs.
It is. And that Bridgewater thing, wasn't that also when Blair Walsh missed that very short
Correct.
Field goal?
10-9 was the final.
And at that point, Blair Walsh was the most popular guy ever in Seattle.
And now he isn't.
He comes to Seattle, and now he comes to Seattle, and people want to embrace him, and he becomes very unpopular after last week. So, yeah, that's a tough one. But you're right about the travel. It's a monster coming from where they are. So you're right. You want teams to make that flight. Look, I live in Florida, and I had to go up there to do the game last week. And every time I talk about going to Seattle, which I love once I'm there, but getting there, it's like that song that our kids were taught in school and you were very upset with teachers, the song that has no end. Yeah, that's what the flight is. It's the flight that has no end. I'm like, is this thing ever going to land? Are we ever going to hit the ground here? So it's tough on teams to go to Seattle. And as you said, it's tough on Seattle to go on the road.
You have the Minnesota-Washington game. Teddy Bridgewater has been added to the roster. He's not starting. He's a backup now. How close do you think he is to starting, and will it be determined by how they play here?
I think the latter part is probably on target. According to Minnesota, Mike Zimmer said it at his press conference. Now, how much of that you believe and take away, well, it remains to be seen, but he said, if Teddy Bridgewater had to play, he's 100% ready to go. I struggle to believe that that's absolutely true, but I don't want to doubt anything about what Teddy Bridgewater has done to get back to this point, because the truth of the matter is we really thought that maybe, possibly, his career was over. And I think that that's what was communicated to the Vikings brass, because otherwise, do they make that move to get Sam Bradford the way that they did? Sam Bradford was gotten because they thought maybe they needed a quarterback really for the future, not that Teddy's definitely going to be back. They didn't know, so they had to make that move. So I give Teddy Bridgewater incredible kudos for making it back to this point. But I would be very leery if I'm the Vikings about wanting to jump the gun and get him in the lineup really fast, because the team's operating well under Case Keenum. I would continue to operate that way almost until they can't operate well under him anymore before I make any kind of a move with Bridgewater. He's been gone from the game for a long time. And as talented as he is, it's still tough to knock that rust off during the pressure cooker time.
It's Charles Davis joining us, of course, Brady and Price 710. As noted, he's got Minnesota Washington back with Kevin Burkhardt, who was on World Series. Does he even remember the rules of the sport anymore, Charles? Like, it's 10
amazing.
Yards to get a first down, touchbacks come back to the 20. He'll be fine. We'll watch, and we love you guys as a duo.
Thank you. I'll tell you how good he was on that. He came back last week for the first time, okay, and he'd been gone. And I'm being somewhat tongue-in-cheek here, but you remember our game last week, the only score we had for the longest time was a safety, and it was 2-0. And so we go to break, and he said, make sure you come back to us here in Seattle, where right now the Mariners lead the Nationals 2-0. So I thought it was pretty funny. Kevin's got it.
Did now on this Colts thing, you probably saw the comments. Now it should be revealed. Hey, we all want our mics to be turned off at the right times. But Tony Dungy was on Dan Patrick's show, and it wasn't, and it slipped out. But he did make comments about Jim Irsay indicating to him in a third party conversation. It's complicated that Andrew Luck's injury, quote, might be in his head now. It's easy to go, okay, this is just another thing Jim Irsay says, and we know he's a little wacky, we know he's a little out there, you got to take the good with the bad, all that stuff. But I wonder about that, and I wonder if I'm Andrew Luck, I might be a little spooked by how the last 2.5 years have gone and how they haven't helped me in Indianapolis. And I don't know if he has the, like, fortitude's not the right word. I don't know if Andrew Luck has it in him to go and say, get me out of here, or do that publicly. But something's got to give here. It is a very dysfunctional scenario in Colts land, isn't it?
It is, and that, you know, when that came out on a break, right? The hot mic gets you, the whole deal. I remember my wife was like, "See, I told you, the mic's never off. It's never off, no matter what you do. It's never off."
Make does she sure mean around the house, or is she giving you a professional warning, or well, is she like well, around the house? Well, get the mic, turn the mic off once in a while.
Well, that scared me a little bit because she didn't differentiate.
Mm-hmm.
So does she have mics around the house, too? I don't know.
Frightening thing for every man to consider.
I'd be careful.
I'm going to have to get a sweep in there somehow when she's out for the day. But anyway, you know, that's mentioned. But also, if you go back and look at comments that Irsay made, he actually suggested all of that without it being Tony Dungy, relaying a third person. He did mention it there were a couple articles that actually came out about this in Andrew's head and whatever. The other part that you're seeing now is I've heard Colts fans who are season ticket holders are talking about uniting and suing for fraud.
I saw that. I can't believe that. Yes.
And at first blush, I thought, now this is kind of crazy. But when you string it all together with Jim Irsay tweeting, Andrew Luck will be healthy for the season. He's looking forward to a great year. He's going to be fine. He's going to be back. And then there's another thing alleging that Andrew Luck had sent a text saying, oh, they're just propping me up to sell season tickets. Now, I did hear an explanation for that from the Colts, which actually makes sense to me. Because if you know Andrew Luck, he truly does still have a flip phone.
Yeah.
And the idea of Andrew Luck tweeting something like that or texting something like that just makes no sense whatsoever. Not saying it couldn't have happened, but I'm just saying I'm leery about that actually being true. But the bottom line is it's an injury that should have been taken care of a couple of years ago that didn't get taken care of, and now they've got even bigger issues because really we're missing almost 2 years on him when it probably should have just been that short amount of time to fix it after a season.
Wait till Cowboys fans sue the National Football League for these 4 games that Ezekiel Elliott's going to miss that he shouldn't miss because he never did anything and everything's going to be okay. But I'm joking. The Cowboys
no,
here.
But I get it. I mean, what you really said with the league, I could hear it now. The fans would sue and everybody would flip it around and go, yeah, but he played all these games he never should have played. So to be back and forth, we'll get a stalemate.
But it certainly looks like maybe we're at the point where he's going to sit at least 4 games now. And so can the Cowboys run the football? They don't have to run it like they did with Elliott back there, but they do have to run it somewhat effectively. Can that happen without him there?
They've got the right committee to do it. So I'm not overly worried about that. They've got the right group. Now, Alfred Morris, we know, is a proven guy. I don't think that he is I know he's not the same guy he was in Washington, but he still can give you a flash. Darren McFadden has been inactive most of the season. You know, he's the first guy that people think about, but really the second back is Rod Smith. Do you remember him in the preseason? I think it was the Hall of Fame game where he showed up and was like, oh, my God, who is this guy? He's playing really well. Oh, he's Jalen Smith's brother. And at that time, you know, he was playing and Jalen was still trying to work his way back from the knee. Now they're both back and playing. So, yeah, they can do it. But the X factor is Dak Prescott. And last year we really would have said, oh, my God, you know, how are we going to take the pressure off of Prescott? He's a rookie quarterback. He needs the run game. Dak, the training wheels are off. He doesn't need the run game quite the same way. If they have to run offense through him, they can do that and be successful.
Charles Davis, our guest, 716. I loved the headline. I'm going to read you the headline from ESPN. Sources, Giants looking closely at Sam Darnold, top QB prospects. And I'm going, okay, yes, you might, like, yes, consider that. Then the second paragraph is there was a directive all the way from co-owner John Mara for scouts to start looking at the top college quarterbacks. I bet you the scouts figured that out before we're 9 games into this and the Giants are where they're at. I can't think of a team, Charles. And I don't even think now that Garoppolo's likely staying in San Francisco, maybe Cleveland doesn't want to go that route again, but I can't think of a team that needs Darnold or Rosen or a fix more than the New York Football Giants. And I think we were saying that even in week 1 or 2 that they might want to think about that.
You know something? I love how you've just said that. I absolutely do, because it'd be a non-story, and we wouldn't be discussing it if the Giants were in playoff contention. But the scouts would be doing exactly what you just said. You know, they figured that out a long time ago, because all you have to do is look at Eli Manning and realize he's 36 years old or 35 or 36 years old. This is what you do. You get ahead of the curve. This is how you replenish your team. This is how you keep things going. Duh. Yeah, they're going to be looking at the top college quarterbacks to see what's out there. And by the way, you know what the headline didn't say? Still evaluating the rest of the quarterbacks in the league. Who else might be available? Is there anyone out there we can go get? Obviously, Garoppolo would have been on the list. And guess what? He's still on the list. It's not a lock that he stays in San Francisco. It looks like it. But remember, at the end of the year, his contract's up. They could trade him again along the way before this is done. He could be a free agent. I mean, there's so many different things that go into this, but you're exactly right. Yeah, they are way ahead on that one, folks. Yeah, you're going to look at the college quarterbacks because that's what teams do. It's just that there's a heightened sense of urgency because they're not playing well right now.
Terrific football analyst Charles Davis with us every Friday, NFL on Fox, and you can catch him on the Washington-Minnesota game coming up on Sunday. Thank you, Charles.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you very much, guys. You take care of yourselves.